All right, let's get ourselves where we need to be, spiritually and otherwise. We were wrapping up the doctrine of authority. Excuse me. And authority is always under attack by the ones who hate it, God's authority, the duly established authorities. And it takes different forms, you know. People expect people to comply with certain rules if they're involved in certain enterprises, even if the enterprise is evil. We took note of the fact that the Antichrist, this will be the epitome of lawlessness on earth. Now, that'll take some doing. He is called, among his other titles in the Bible, he is called the man of lawlessness. You can't get any more lawless than to claim that you're God and not be, and be mortal. That's pretty lawless. In addition to the other things that are done in connection with his rise to power. As I stated before, he is the most studied person of antiquity, more books written on him in libraries than any other person from that time. And he died young, age 33. They say he died of his wounds. In Babylon, city of Babylon, he might have been poisoned. Daniel prophesied his rise to power. He prophesied that that Alexander would overthrow the Persian Empire long before it happened, back when he was in Babylon, Daniel. He said he'd overthrow the Persian Empire, that he'd come from the west in the figure of a goat, a mountain goat, that's going so fast it's not even touching the ground. That's one of the things you get in history, is the speed of Alexander's conquests. And that's on foot, you know, that's people walking. His army and the speed of it, and he wanted to go to the edge of the world. He thought it was flat. So did all the Greeks, everybody around him. He wanted to go to the edge of the world, you know. But his conquest stopped in India. And that's when his soldiers said, no more. We want to go home. We want to go back to Greece. And they just stood down. We're not doing it anymore. So he came back. Didn't come back the easy way. He never did anything the easy way. If he didn't have to. He always liked adventure and the approbation that comes from adventure and doing these daredevil type things. You know, he'd conquer a city, he'd be the first one to jump down in the midst of the enemy in the city, and his soldiers would all come running around and trying to keep him from getting killed. He got wounded a couple times doing that stunt. Now, he was not an armchair general. He got right out there in the front. And he's going to be back. Alexander will come back. And the timing will be the rapture of the church, and he'll appear in Western Europe. Daniel prophesied of this, and John the apostle prophesied of this, and it's in your Bible. The Antichrist comes up out of the abyss. Well, he can't do that by himself. God has to bring his soul up out of there and reconnect it with his remains and fix them all up into a body, and give him a brain computer with information so he can function, and he'll know where Texas is. No, I mean, he'll know all the kind of stuff, and then some, that an average person could know living in the modern era. And all the history in between. All the past history. He'll be a virtual encyclopedia of information. About you name it. He'll know it. And he will assert that he is going to overthrow this whole thing about God and Jesus Christ. He's not going to deny his existence. And that, because it says that he slanders and blasphemes those who are in heaven. Those who are in heaven are all these people that disappeared from the face of the earth, us Christians, that got out of here via the rapture. He's going to badmouth all that. And I don't think he's going to attribute it to aliens, alien abductions. Honestly, don't. But whatever, he's going, and the idea that Christ is coming back, and this time it isn't to die for sins, it is to take out the evil and set up his kingdom. And they're going to fight against the Lord and his anointed. And he'll break the mold. Yes, he's in the cosmos, but he's got his own version of the cosmos and what it is. He will say things that are absolutely true. He has to. But fool all these people into following him as he seeks to set up a satanic kingdom. He will not deny Lucifer. He will not deny Lucifer. He will claim to be the true Messiah and deliverer of humanity. And he'll tell everybody that heaven's right up there. And the earth has got a dome over it, and we can't get off it. He will not deny those realities. He'll know about these theories that came much later down the road in the name of science. He'll know about all this stuff. He's going to really break the mold. And so they take their stand, him and his rulers. He has 10 kings, 10 individuals, probably self-appointed, that heads up in Daniel's prophecy, there is the doctrine of the revived Roman Empire. Well, it's incomplete. It involves the same territories: Italy, Greece, Spain, France, Germany, but it's the revived Roman Empire. And the revived Roman Empire will have 10 kings, and they will be under Alexander's authority, and he will take the resources of Western Europe and proceed to conquer and overthrow nations around in the area and region and beyond. He'll end up in Israel, where he will get to face Jesus Christ at the second advent. He will be taken alive after the defeat of the armies at Armageddon, he and the false prophet. He will stand before Jesus Christ wounded. His right eye is gone, and his right arm is hanging limp. You say, where'd you get that? It's in one of the prophets. It's in one of the prophets. I never taught it to you, did I? I don't think. Came across it. And then the Lord will take the false prophet and the Antichrist and throw them as the first individuals into wherever it's at, and I don't know, maybe we'll stumble onto something, the lake of fire. See, they've already been in hell. Alexander and the false prophet, from the time of their death till they're brought up out of there, they have been in hell. The usual place we've already said it is. Heart of the earth. Down. Wherever the lake of fire is, it's somewhere different. Every unbeliever, if you're out there, every unbeliever will spend some time in hell, their soul. That means even those that come to the end of the millennium that are unsaved, amazingly, when they are baptized in fire at the Gog and Magog event, their souls go to hell. And then we turn right around and resurrect all unbelievers. It's just like they touch the place and come back up out of it. There's no indication of a time lag. So millennial unbelievers will go to hell, even some of them very briefly. And their souls will be brought out, hooked up with their resurrected bodies, judged at the great white throne, and all of them cast into the lake of fire, as they all appear before the one they rejected, Jesus Christ. It's very sobering. This is out in the future. So the false prophet and the Antichrist, I guess they're resurrected out of the lake of fire, because you can't throw a natural body in the lake of fire; it'll disintegrate. I'm just thinking about stuff. Okay. That's how you get somewhere. That's how I got onto the doctrine of the identity of the Antichrist, because through the church age, all kinds of speculation about who the Antichrist might be. And then when some bad guy would come on the scene, oh, that's the Antichrist, because they're a bunch of emotional dummies. They want to make it Hitler. No. Just the Bible will get you there if you're patient, prayerful, and positive. It'll get you where you need to go with regard to these things. And doctrine is an unfolding thing. It's like, you know, I remember getting on to this. It was driving me nuts. Not literally. I decided I was just going to read that in Revelation 17 and pretend and just take it at face value. Like I could read anything. What's it saying to me? He comes up out of the abyss and goes to destruction. The abyss is another synonym for the underworld of unbelievers. They come up out of the abyss and he's thrown into destruction. Destruction is the lake of fire, where body and soul of the unbeliever is tormented forever, whereas when an unbeliever dies, it's just their soul, of course. So The lawlessness will continue to be ramped up in the last days, and certainly we see it in the world and the country and the society in which we live, the rampant lawlessness at all echelons of the social order. But that is, you know, that's the unfun part, if you will, of being a believer with doctrine in the last days. We're like, we are Lot in Sodom. He was tormented, but he saw, Lot was a full-blown monetary, I want to get ahead, make money, honestly, do it in an honest way, make money, Lot, the nephew of Abraham. He's a believer. Money was his God. Getting ahead was his God. And God let him get ahead. And then jerked it out from under him. Twice. Twice. So Lot, but he wasn't into this abnormal sexual perversion that was on a militant scale in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was tormented every day. This mess was in his face. Well, he chose to go live there. We would say for the almighty dollar, whatever they called it. He went there because it was a good place to make money. Legitimately. Those cities were prosperous. In spite of the vice, they were prosperous. And he chose to live there. And he was tormented daily by the activity of the male population with regard to their perversion. We most of us were born here. And so and this is where God wants us to be. So we'll hang in there. Authority is rejected in the final point, or in the final, arrogance rejects the authority established by God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? It's just words in a holy text. He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. And that spirit is the Holy Spirit made to dwell in us for a number of functions, one of which is to teach us and make the plan of God clear to us, the will of God clear to us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it is said, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Submit to his directive will. It's not that difficult. Figure out what it is and submit to it. You come in here and I point out what the directive will of God is in a whole variety of areas. It's, for me, it's kind of overwhelming, you know, but I can only put out so much in a short period of time. But over time, it begins to build up like, well, I guess I could use an analogy, of putting aside some money over here and putting a little and not touching it and putting aside some more and putting a little more. And one day, boom, it's a nice little sum. So it is learning the do's and don'ts, as we do in life. There's a right way to do this, and there's a wrong way to do this. And if you do it the right way, you will have success. If you do it the wrong way, you won't. In terms of God's will, you submit to what you hear to be true. And each of you, I'll just mark you out like putting a box around you. You are your own independent. You can influence others. You can encourage others. You can tell others the truth. But ultimately, you need to make up your own mind with regard to what you're hearing and not run out and say, if so-and-so doesn't agree with it, then I don't. No, no. You have got to hear the information. You want to be, if it's more important to you to be in the right rather than to be happy with somebody and they're okay with you because you sat here and heard my explanation of some doctrine, and then they come out and debunk it. And you sat there and said, you can be calm about it. You said, you know, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. This other doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. It's Masonic. And you know one of the things about the Masonic? They like backwards. Things being backwards. And if a bunch of these scientific theories are not backwards, I don't know what is. It's backwards. What's the truth? What would the situation be if you had posited the model, as an opposite? You got it right over here. That's what they do. It's satanic. He doesn't like the truth in any form. He'll accommodate it to get along with things, but he doesn't like. But Satan is the author of these lies, and we've all been victimized by them, myself included, from birth till, you know, onward as a Christian until we start figuring some of these things out. All right, we are therefore to submit to God. And you can't do that without clear and guidelines and the directive will of God, the imperatives, the royal imperatives, do this, don't do this. I could say things to people here. I've said it over and over. If you start having spotty attendance, and I'm excluding an ongoing chronic health problem that knocks you down, I'm not talking about that. anything that's legitimate. You can't make it because you got a sick child. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spotty attendance. I don't feel like it tonight. That mentality, or whatever it is, you're not going to last. You eventually are going to walk. And you're going to join all those that have walked. And maybe you know some of them. Do you want to be like that? You want to be in that life, living out here in the cosmos, and having all this doctrine you once had go to pieces? It's inevitable that it will. You want to be that? You want to be like them? Those of you who still have contact and know them personally? Well, you leave doctrine, that's what you're going to do. It's not worth it. Time's short, everything. The stakes are as high as they can possibly be. Resist the devil. That doesn't mean you're going to have a personal encounter with Satan, but one of his agents, Christian or non-Christian. Resist. Resist. Draw your deal in the sand. I'm not going there. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. They'll finally turn around and feel, I can't get anywhere with him or her. They're not budging. They're sticking by their guns. They're sticking by the truth. All right, well, we didn't get to chapter 13. But if the wind doesn't blow us away, we'll get to it Tuesday night. Stay in fellowship, faith, rest, and pray. And we'll see you when we see you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.